Hello, everyone. This is the Fifth Ethical Revelation Fellowship, and I'm Reverend Dr. Roger Paul, and today is April 21st, 2013, and we're going to continue our study on the origin, history, and destiny of the universe reality. Okay, last time we were in deity and divinity, and I have made a couple changes to some slides to try to make it better understandable for y'all. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to send them out to y'all because they were last-minute things again. So I will send you an email this afternoon when I get back with the new changes in the slides. You can follow along in your book, though. It's going to make perfect sense. If you want to, you can write those changes in. Or when you get them, you'll know exactly where they go. I've also moved a couple slides in the order because I realized that when I put them in, I had them in the wrong place, actually. I'm not perfect, can I say? So, I'll let y'all know when we get to those, and you can move them if you'd like. But I think it makes it more understandable. What I do want to say about today's class is this. What we're going to go through today is the most absolute difficult part of the whole book. Okay? So, if you get blown away and you don't understand something today, don't worry about it. Okay? Because it's going to come over a little bit of time. The reason I want to cover this stuff, though, is so we introduce you to it. And once you've been exposed to it once, every time you get exposed to it, it's going to reinforce it a little bit more. As the book does, we start from the most difficult and we move out. The problem is this. In doing that, when you start talking about the universal absolute, the unqualified absolute, the eventuated absolute, and even the supreme, these are concepts that are part of the universal Father. And that is a very hard concept. It's a separateness, but the same. That's what we talked about in unity the other night. Remember, we were talking about God goes through all these things. So when you think about the ultimate, the unqualified absolute, the qualified absolute, and all these other beings that they talk about in the book, you have to really think about God the Father, really. Right? Because God the Father is, all these things come as part of God the Father. Even though they're developing as separate beings, they're still part of God the Father. And a couple of them are really what we consider not deity or not divinity. Okay? Like the unqualified absolute. This is a physical absolute. It doesn't have personality of its own. Okay, and we're going to discover this today. And I know that's an even harder concept to understand, but the reason it doesn't have personality of its own because it's so closely integrated with the overcontrol of God the Father, it doesn't need personality. You follow me? In other words, God's in control of everything. God the Father is in control of everything. And even all these other deities, you know, even when you get to the Supreme, that this unity they talk about in the book, God the Father runs through all of it. And if you get frustrated with trying to understand these concepts over here, just come back to here, okay? If you can get God the Father, you got it, as far as I'm concerned. These are just really nice to know and to understand. These are what the philosophers of the universe spend millennia studying, you know? So they don't expect you to, bam, I got it. You know what I'm saying? So it makes it difficult for me to teach you. It makes it difficult for you to understand. But if you really put your time in and read it over and over and over again, and you keep running it back to these three deities, it'll eventually sink in. It will. You'll start to get more and more and more understanding of it. So don't get frustrated. If I talk over your head today, excuse me today. After today's lessons, the rest of it's going to seem fairly simple. If you can get through the day without your mind exploding, the rest of it's going to be a piece of cake. Okay? So, and that's
good. Sounds good.
Sound good? Okay. And I'll try to make it as understandable as humanly possible that I can. Now, y'all keep in mind, in all this stuff, this is my interpretation of it. I keep wanting to put that out. This is the way I interpret what I have learned studying the book over a period of time. Right? So somebody may come along and tell you something totally different. Don't say they're wrong. they might be 100% right. I could be wrong, right? Because this is my interpretation from my thought adjuster to me of what I understand, all right? So, like I keep saying, there are no experts in the branch of it. There's a lot of people running around think they are, but when it comes down to it, who's the expert? This guy right here, right? The universal father. Okay, he's the only expert, right? The rest of us are just kind of twiddling along trying to figure it out. Now, today we got a new chart. You see this? This is the Kingdom of Heaven Revelation chart. So what I've done is I've taken their posters, redone them, again, taking color out, that sort of thing, made some corrections on it, that sort of thing, and I've added some stuff to it down here. All of these you can find online. You can order these from our website. Not from our website, but there's links on our website where you can get to where these charts are, and then you can order them for yourself at home if you'd like to have them, right? And I'm just recopying this as a teaching tool for y'all. Now, as you know, you should have this in your email, right? Okay. And it's going to make it a lot easier for us. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, you're going to find some typing errors. I've already found about 12. That's because, guess who the typist was? Yeah. I'm not going to be a typist. So, there are some typos in there, like if you look up here, Jerusalem's misspelled.
I guess word check didn't...
No, it didn't do Photoshop, unfortunately. So, anyway, so y'all look at that when you're, I think, you know, on your leisure while you're here. Let's get started, because we've got a lot of stuff to go through today. Does anybody remember exactly where on this chart we stopped?
We need to start at 2.
I thought you was on the next one.
Huh?
It's 2.13.
Oh, continuation, wasn't it?
Yeah, continuation.
Yes, it is. And before we go into that, I have another chart. This is the picture that you have in your folder. I want you to find this, look for this, I want you to take it out and put it right in front of our next slide, which is Deity and Divinity. Continue.
Sparks.
It's
like 20 pages down, maybe.
Actually, I'll put it after it.
Come on.
Come on with this. Anybody find it?
Put it where now?
Put it right after the end and then it continues.
We're
going to go over this. Before we get into where we started out last week.
So, Roger, when you talk about your interpretation and everybody else's interpretation, could all of us be right?
We could all be right, but we could also all be wrong.
Right?
All we can go on is what our thought adjuster teaches us, right? And we have to assume this. And I gave Diane an example of something. I thought I heard the voice of God about 30 years ago one day. And I was certain of the message. And I was totally wrong. Okay, so we have to be very careful about interpreting anything from God. Very careful. You know? Because I want
to... I think that's the key. Interpreting.
Interpreting. That's right. That's right.
Our human minds tend to interpret it.
The way we want to, that's right, and what's good for us at the time, right? Because at this time, I really wanted this event to happen, and I was convinced it was going to happen, you know? I would have sold everything I owned to make this happen if I thought it was really going to happen, but it didn't. And the reason was it didn't. I misinterpreted the message from God, right? And we all do that every day. It says the Holy Spirit will teach us and what we need to know if we're on the right track, you know, and that's the caveat. If it's the will of God, and we're going right down the right road, right? What I was wanting was what my will wanted, not what God's will wanted, right? And that is very difficult to determine which is which.
But it's good that you recognize that.
Yeah, it took me 20 years to recognize it, 10 years to recognize it, but... Eventually, I did recognize that fact, you know. So, that's why when we start hearing voices in our head from God, we better question them, right? We better say, well, is this really from God? Is this coming from my own ego?
Yes, but if you act on it and it's wrong, then you know that it's wrong.
Yeah, that's right. It's that experiential thing again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes the hardest things that we've had to deal with in our lives taught us the most.
That's right.
And it's all about learning. It's not about having to win the cushy life.
We learn more from our mistakes than we can do it right.
And who's to say that wasn't planned to begin with?
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right. Okay. So, let's talk about this slide a little bit. Who was reading last time? Gino? Rodney, do you want to take this slide and just start at the top? Let's talk about these different aspects here.
Okay, this is from page 3, section 6. When we attempt to conceive of perfection in all phases and forms of relativity, we encounter 7 conceivable types. Number 1, absolute perfection in all aspects.
Tell me how, what beings would have that absolute perfection? The Trinity, would they not?
The Trinity beings would be absolutely perfect.
Absolutely perfect all the time, right? And don't you think many of these other beings that we're talking about, this is so difficult to understand, many of those would be perfect, wouldn't they? Because they're extension of God the Father, are they not? Now they're going to have some imperfect parts of them too, because they're, some of them are experiential. And anything that's experiential, do you think it's perfect? No, that's the point of experience.
Overall, it's perfect, but it was meant to be imperfect.
It was meant to be imperfect. Yeah, so that it could experience what? All things, both perfection and imperfection. Right? Okay, so let's go to the next one.
Number 2, absolute perfection in some phases and relative perfection in all other aspects.
Wouldn't you think that would be a good description of these deities here?
Mm-hmm.
Eventuated, qualified, and unqualified? Possibly, right? Because if you think of the unqualified, right, and the absolute, those are outer space levels that aren't even developed yet. Do you think they have imperfections in them?
Yeah.
I would think so.
Apparently,
yeah. I think definitely so. Okay, so let's go on.
Number 3, absolute, relative, and imperfect aspects in varied association.
Okay, you see on that paper how you got kind of a, it's not going to show up with this, kind of a jagged edge on two of those?
Yep.
That's your imperfection, right? And then you have the different color. You have the absolutes, the white, okay? The relative is the blue, and the varied or imperfection is the jagged part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so can y'all think of some beings that might qualify in that area? How about? Well, let's go back. Let's go back to the absolute perfection in some things, relative perfection in all others. Don't you think the Creator sons would fit in that? Think about it. Because they're absolute perfection in some faces and relative perfection in other aspects, because why? They're experientially growing as Creator sons. So they're going to run into imperfection, aren't they? And they're going to make decisions. And sometimes, that even though they have very wise capabilities because of their absolute perfection, they still make decisions at times that sometimes may not be 100% what God would want them to do, right? Because they have free will. Okay? And you can see that in the 7 super universes. We have rebellion in this universe right now, don't we? So would you say that's part of that imperfection coming in? You know? And yet Christ, Michael, is letting that run its course, right? And the ancient of days. Because they know the benefit from this imperfection will outweigh the bad stuff about it. Right? And that's hard to understand.
But Roger, I mean, at least as a personal interpretation, I'm not sure what they mean by relative, but I think there is a difference between relative perfection and imperfection.
Big difference.
And imperfection is when you actually make a mistake. I don't think that's the case of relative perfection, in which case, in terms of free will, I don't think the Creator sons do make any decision that I want according
perfect.
To the so
yeah.
That I want according to the will of the Father, which means it may be the way my as a feeling I was I would guess the measure to say that the relative has to do with the experience.
I think you're right.
But I don't think it means that their decision is
wrong.
Is it wrong
right.
or against the will of the father?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's a good interpretation. That's a perfect interpretation, actually. Because we all make decisions on our own experiential value, right? So every single creator son would have a different experiential value, wouldn't he? Because of whatever experiences happened in his local universe. So if he went through his entire creator son upbringing until all his universe got to light and life, and he never had rebellion, you think that creator son has more relative perfection than the others do? You see where this relative comes in?
I think the relative has to do with the fact of the constraint of your sphere. For example, we live in a finite sphere. So if you were to be 100% tuned to our Father, just saying, doing everything according to the Father, and basically acting as perfectly as Jesus did when
yes.
he was in the flesh,
yeah.
we couldn't do better, we couldn't be more perfect, but that would still be a relative perfection relative to
relative.
Our sphere.
That's right.
That
it's
is
right.
not absolute.
That's right.
We just can reach the beyond what we are constrained.
I think you have a good understanding.
Yes,
I think it's a perfect interpretation. Would anyone disagree with that?
It would be relative to his universe.
Relative
to the sphere, your constraints of living.
Yeah.
Like right now, we are heavily constrained to our material body, to the earth. Even if we were to act perfect right now, it wouldn't be absolute perfection. It would be relative to
what's going on,
to what we can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a finite limit of perfection we can achieve on the sphere we're in. That's actually, I would guess, the reason why we can stay here forever.
That's
because we need progress. When we go to the moral world, that sphere of relative perfection is enhanced.
Yeah.
Therefore, we have more things to do to experience perfection. And when we have fulfilled that, and we go above and above. And I guess that the absolute is when there is no limit whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. And do you ever think the infinite or the finite error gets perfect? It probably comes close when we reach light and life. But I would still think that there's that possibility, as long as we're finite, there's always a possibility of imperfection. Right?
But even when there is perfection, it's relative to the
finite
material.
That's right. That's right.
There's a lot of catch 22s.
There is.
Living on this planet.
There is. But that's part of our experience. And y'all got to remember the important part of that is it's a blessing. That's the hard part to understand. The difficulties that we experience is a blessing to us. We think they're terrible and awful, and it's horrible to live on this planet. It's actually just the opposite, because we get a glimpse of imperfection. We get a glimpse of a world that's sin-based, that has got evil in it, that's out of control, really. And this will give us experience to deal with other situations when we go on to the dimension world and other jobs after we get past the dimension world. Because that we can't gain that experience without actually going through this experience, the final experience, right? So how's that a blessing? Because we see it, we know how to deal with it. If we never saw it, then we wouldn't know how to react to it. It's part of that agonizer, seeing, believing without seeing. Right.
Persevering even when isolated and alone.
That's right.
There's a high being that had experience in the very first rebellion. What is his name? And he sits on our council, or
is it Laniforge?
Laniforge.
Is it Laniforge?
Our system sovereign.
Okay.
Yeah, Laniforge, yeah. Actually, he was in, I believe it was three. All three rebellions was associated with all three.
So he must look at it and be like,
Okay, so let's keep moving. Go ahead and do the next one, Rodney.
Number four.
Yeah.
Absolute perfection in some respects, imperfection in all others.
Okay, think about this. Would that not describe maybe that some of the upper sons of God, like the
administrative
sons, right? Yeah.
Lucifer.
Satan, right?
they
have absolute perfection in their training and their creation and that sort of thing, right? But they were imperfect in all others. So they, in that case, they had this possibility that they could go wrong. That's part of the free will, right? And I would say that's probably more than likely their classification, right?
Kind of like rich, spoiled children that sometimes grow up
spoiled. That's right. That's right. Okay. The next one's kind of interesting. The next one I would almost say is our Maharaja phase. Go ahead and read that.
Number five?
Yeah.
Absolute perfection and no direction, relative perfection and all manifestation.
And I would say the five and six is probably somewhere around the mansion worlds until the Jerusalem citizenship. I mean, because that's what we're going for. We're going for absolute perfection. But in that case, in this case, when we first get to the mansion worlds, are we perfect? No. Mm-hmm. We're not even close, right? So that's the whole point of going through the mansion worlds. We're removing the what? The mark of the beast.
We've got to go to remedial school.
We've got to go to remedial school. That's right. That's right.
But we were supposed to have learned on a native planet but didn't because our planet
didn't.
Screwed up.
That's right. That's right. Now, remember, there are some planets that would have this on them. They're right on their planets, wouldn't they? If the planet had reached light and life, they were probably about at that stage on their own planet before they died. Right? So, that's what we're talking about there. Okay, let's go to the next one.
Number six, absolute perfection in no phase. Relative in some, imperfect in others.
That's the growing part, isn't it? You know, we're growing. And this really could be a description of many beings, if you think about it. You said contemplate these things. But if you think of, it's hard for me to say.
It's a chart.
That might be an angel or something, you know?
It's in bad. It's deity and divinity.
But they may not have any absolute perfection. Mm-hmm. At all, because they're so close to us. Or maybe a mid layer here, right? It's possible too.
Infuse mortal.
Infuse mortal. That's right. Okay, and let's hit the last one.
Number seven. Absolute perfection and no attribute. Imperfection in all.
Hooray for us.
That's us.
We have potential.
That's a pretty good description of it, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to go back one slide, and because there's a few things we missed on this, because this is where this comes from, revealing divinity, the seventh slide. And I believe, did we get all the way through this or not, Gio? I don't believe we did.
I thought I did. I had to mark it on the other one.
Yeah.
We stopped on 212.
We started on what?
We stopped on 212, so 213.
213? My name is, I don't know. I tell you what, I'd like to go ahead and read through this. So this is where all this came from, right here. All right. So if Don, do you want to pick it up from 2:114? And this kind of goes through what we just discussed.
Okay,
you're on the second page of the divinity,
yeah, it's 2:13, Roger.
Did she say 2:13?
2:13.
Yes.
Third paragraph?
Well, 3.1.
It's deity and divinity continued.
Deity may be existential, as in the eternal Son, experiential, as in the Supreme Being, associative, as in God the Sevenfold, undivided, as in the Paradise Trinity.
Okay, let me go through these while we do it. This is what we're talking about, this area right here. Most of
it's deity and divinity continue.
Right. And the sevenfold. Okay. That's what we're going to do right now. Alright? Okay, go on.
3.2. Deity is the source of all that which is divine. Deity is characteristically and invariably divine. But all that which is divine is not necessarily deity. Though it will be coordinated with deity and will tend towards some phase of unity with deity, spiritual, mindful, or personal.
Okay. Now what are they talking about there? They could be talking about what? The unqualified absolute, right? It may not necessarily be divine. Okay. We're gonna hit that in a minute, so keep that in mind.
3.3. Divinity is the characteristic, unifying, and coordinating quality of deity.
All right, let's keep going.
3.4. Divinity is creature comprehensible as truth, beauty, and goodness, correlated in personality as love, mercy, and ministry, disclosed on impersonal levels as justice, power, and sovereignty.
Okay, now does those things not point you to this right here? God the Father. Mm-hmm. Truth, beauty, and goodness. Love. Right?
Mercy.
Mercy. You know, mm-hmm. Sovereignty. You know, when you think about the sovereignty of my heart, Creator's side, and now here, are they not talking about that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's part of the deity, the divinity line. Remember I was talking the other day how the line of divinity comes out of the Father through the thought of Esther down through the Son and down this direction? That's what we're talking about, this line of divinity, right? And divinity is closely associated with deity. Right, so do you think Michael down here is a deity?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's part of the divinity of God, is he not?
Mm-hmm.
And he's part of our what? Sovereignty of God, and that's what we're talking about. So if you think truth, beauty, and goodness, who's the closest thing we think of? Jesus, right?
Yes,
and that's our example of truth, goodness, and beauty. What sovereignty? Justice,
power.
That's right. Love, mercy, and ministry. Is that not the description of Michael? Okay.
3.5. Divinity may be perfect, complete, as on existential and creator levels of paradise perfection. It may be imperfect as in experiential and creature levels of time, space, evolution. Or it may be relative, neither perfect nor imperfect, as on certain Havana levels of existential experiential relationships.
Okay, now I want you to point out something in this paragraph that I think is people miss a lot. Deity may be perfect, complete on existential. This is the creative class, right? God the Father, right? May be imperfect, as experiential creature levels in time, space, evolution, or maybe relative, neither perfect nor imperfect, uncertain. Does that not also describe us?
The thought adjusters.
The thought adjusters.
Because they've already succumbed to our will, and our will isn't always as divine as it should be.
Not so hard to understand, is it? After all, is it? No. Yeah, if you think about it, you break it down, it makes sense.
But does it really affect divinity?
Yes. Yes. How does it affect divinity? Because of our experiential experience. Yeah, that's a double talk, but I know. But it's because of our experience. Divinity gets the experience from our mistakes. Right? So, does divinity grow? I mean, does deity grow? Yes. How does deity grow? It's supreme.
It's a handout. That
right? Everything we learn increases... supreme, and the supreme being.
No, ma'am,
we're
not. It's directly in the paper.
But she's an experiential being, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, y'all keep in mind, you know, we keep talking about when the supreme comes into full force. She's a living force now, right? Or he's a living force, however you want to say it. It's not that it's not created already. It's already going. It's already going. She's just not got total experience it. When she has total experience with this 70 universes are settled in light and life, then she will have gained all the experience necessary for her to become like who? Think about this. This is
like
major.
God?
Huh?
God?
No. Like Michael.
I thought I read somewhere that a being will actually appear.
Mm-hmm.
A supreme being.
Now, why will she be like Michael? Because Michael is what? A creator son with the universe, local universe mother spirit, right? So we have two beings that created this universe. When she is closer to perfect, like Michael is close to perfect, then she will be ready to do what? go out into the seven super universes and develop those areas just like the Creator Son did here, right? So they think that her sovereignty will be part of her experience just like a Michael Son. It's a learned experience.
Earned and learned.
That's right. Yeah. Isn't that special? I mean, think about that. So we are actually, what are we doing in our experiences every day? We're building the outer universes, are we not? Because we're building the experience for the Supreme. And the Supreme is going to take that experience and go up to the next level. Now, what do we do? Well, we use the finalers then. We're probably going to go out and work for the Supreme, are we not? Is that so hard to understand? That's pretty simple.
The Supreme Being was eventuated when the seven universes were created.
That's right.
So that's what
he started.
Until they are all in light and love, is when the Supreme Being matures.
That's right. That's right. That's the way it works. Now, think of it like this. Michael took how many billions of years to finish his sovereignty? At least
4 or 5.
Yeah, at least 4 or 5. Maybe even
4.5.
Okay, so if it took Michael's, 4.5 billion years to finish his sovereignty, what do you think it will take the Supreme Being to achieve her sovereignty? It's probably going to be billions and billions of
years. Oh, true.
Do you think they're getting in a hurry?
No.
To the Supreme, there's time and space, isn't there? Because she's dealing with, finite beings. When you go out to that first super universe level, it's going to be a finite level universe too, isn't it? So there's time and space. But she's an eventuated being. So what type of being would she categorize that? She would be categorized like a paradise or a Havana type being, wouldn't it? When she was needed, she appeared, the will of God disappeared. Right? So do you think, and that's a non-time-space continuum. You got to remember that. So you think the Supreme really evolved from a non-time-space continuum, didn't she? So does she care about time? No. She's just waiting for time to just click along until her universe, the seven super universes, are settled in light and life, and then she gets to do her real job, right? To administer the outer space levels. And she'll probably take the place of the Michaels up there. Now, this is all speculation, is it not? According to the book. What's the other possibility? All the Michaels, the other 300,000 Michaels that aren't being used, they're in reserve, they may be sent out there to help her do this. We may be working for the Michaels out there. What's the other possibility? The other possibility is our current Michaels, like our Creator Son, will be sent out there to help populate other universes with these 300,000 under the Supreme Being, right? So we'll have the experience of the Michael Sons, the Supreme, who am I missing here? One of others. But there's a lot of people going to be involved in these outer universes. And the point of all this is this. There is no time, if you think about it, because it just keeps expanding. Time is just a sequence of events. That's what we got to get in our mind. If it takes you a million years to get to paradise, does it matter? No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. As long as sometime you get to stand before God the Father, right? That's what's important.
Can I ask you something? Yeah. When we talk about the Supreme and gaining experience, are we talking about knowing versus, let me explain. Are we talking about the Supreme knows, in other words, I know something because I picked up a book and I read it, so I know it, versus I know something because I actually walked through that experience.
You walked through the experience.
Is that what we're talking
That's
about?
That's what we're talking. You experienced it yourself.
It's like
not something you learned from a book. It's
they
not
experienced
something,
it yourself.
Yeah, it's not something somebody's taught you.
So it's literally like they walked through each one of these experiences.
That's right. Okay. Now, let me put it another whole way. Do you think it matters that I teach all y'all this?
No.
Why? Because you have to experience all this for it to become part of you. Now, how do you experience? I tell you, and you hear it once, right? I show you pictures, you hear it again, right? I show you a chart, you experience it again, right? But when do you really experience it? When you make it your own. You know, when you read every single word, when you experience trying to figure it out for yourself, you have an aha moment. That's right. That's when it becomes yours. You know, because I can stand up here and teach you stuff all day, and it might be right, might be wrong, who knows? You know, I think it's right. You know, I can tell you I think it's right. This is from years and years of study, so I'd say, I'm pretty sure it's right. But you won't know it until you experience it yourself, right? That's the most important thing, is experiencing it yourself. Okay, let's keep going.
Well, it seems like the point is that it's all evolving toward perfection.
Always, constantly.
Everything and every being that's been created is evolving toward.
And Doc, don't you think that's the statement when God says, be perfect even as I am perfect? That's what he's talking about.
We are perfecting
constantly. Mm-hmm. Does he expect you to be 100% perfect in this world? No, because you weren't created perfect.
Well,
right?
This is a very hard world to be perfect in.
It is. It's a very hard world to be perfect in. But that is your goal. That's what you should be looking at, right? Each and every day, I'm closer and closer and closer to perfection. I'm getting there, right? And I think that's the most important thing, really.
You know, I think it's more like what he said, being perfected on this world. We can be perfected as much as we can be while we're here.
We can be.
And then once, you know, if anybody ever gets to that level, you fuse and you move on.
That's
probably what happened to Enoch and Elijah.
Yeah.
Not that they were perfect like the Father, but
yeah.
as much as they could be here.
Yeah.
Relatively perfect.
And do you think they understood any of this?
No.
They didn't understand. You know, unless Adam and Eve taught some, or, you know, unless some of the lessons came from some other source, they didn't understand all this either. This is not necessary for salvation, is it? No. And you can fuse your adjuster without knowing any of this, if you can attune to that old God, right, that thought adjuster.
But there are some fun old concepts that I think that sit through just from the thought adjuster and all the spiritual influences.
That's right.
And then I personally have experienced that.
Yeah.
I mentioned that probably in my testimonial, but I didn't grow up in church, so there are a lot of concepts I didn't know about Jesus and the Virgin Mary all that.
Yeah.
And I didn't believe in it. But at some point when I had this event, or at some point after that, in my thinking, I was like, okay, well, if there is a God or if there is a source of perfection, well, there also is a way to have access to it and to also show us.
Yeah.
And the concept of God living and showing to us, like as Michael or as Jesus, is starting growing because it makes sense. So I'm sure that people who are tuned to it probably get conceptually, they may not be able to formalize it as a graph like that with the words.
Yeah.
But
they start to see bits and pieces of it coming through in their personalities, but they start making the connection.
I think so. To what extent, of course, I don't know. But
this gives us an advantage that's beyond comprehension. It really does. The book itself gives you an advantage beyond comprehension.
It does.
Even the apostles didn't have the advantages that we did. Did they? I mean, you know, they had Jesus walking around teaching them. But do you think he could have taught them these advanced concepts? Probably not. Not the minute.
I think he tried, but
they
were limited in their
And today, do you think things have changed that much?
Not really.
Some people are walking around with blinders. You know, they're not concerned about anything. You know, and it's sad. But then you've got people like y'all, you know, that are curious. You want to know God. You want to know the personality of God. You want to know the beings of God. You want to know your pathway to paradise. And that's the people that give God the joy, isn't it? because they say, these are my children, they're searching for me, you know, and all we're doing in this and the book and everything else is giving them a pathway to go, you know. Yeah. And that's what I was talking about, you know, there's no experts. I can show you my pathway, but your pathway may be different. You know? So, that's what it was. Okay, let's keep going.
Point 6. When we attempt to conceive of perfection in all phases and forms of relativity, we encounter 7 conceivable types.
And this is that slide we just went through, right? Just read it again.
1. Absolute perfection in all aspects. 2. Absolute perfection in some phases and relative perfection in others. 3. Absolute, relative, and imperfect aspects in varied association. 4. Absolute perfection in some respects, imperfection in all others. 5. Absolute perfection in no direction, relative perfection in all manifestations. 6. Absolute perfection in no phase, relative in some, imperfect in others. 7. Absolute perfection in no attribute, imperfection in all.
Alright, so does that make those clear to you now that you've seen that little picture we're going through? Well, it helped out.
We know exactly who we are.
Huh?
We know exactly who we are.
That's right.
It's just a whole different way to think about perfection.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the normal way that we, you know, that we think about it.
But do you think it was worth spending the time going through this?
Oh, yeah.
Is that beneficial to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. Well, we didn't waste our time.
Okay, 3.15. Cosmic consciousness implies the recognition of a first cause, the one and only uncaused reality. God, the Universal Father, functions on 3 deity personality levels of sub-infinite value and relative divinity expression.
Okay, does anybody have the original slide? There were 3 more sentences there. I did not get on the slide. Is it? No? Okay. Don't worry about it. We're going to go on because we're going to cover a little bit of this. And what are we talking about this first thought? We're back to here, aren't we? The Universal Father. Once again. Now, y'all keep in mind, I keep saying the Universal Father, but in deity, all 3 of the personalities of the Trinity are involved, right? And we haven't got to that point, right? And I don't want to take away from that very point, too, that the original Son, conjoint actor, is involved in all this. The point I want to get through, though, is that the Universal Father is that thread that goes through all of it, right? Really, all 3 of the deities are. They're not separate. Okay, let's go on to the appendix of deity relationships. And, unfortunately, this is the new stuff that is not going to be on all of y'all's things.
Right.
Yeah, it's not. And these are the ones I'm going to send you. Okay? But I do want to go through these because as I went through this and we talked about the unity the other night, I got to thinking about it and I don't think I made all of it clear to you. Okay? So this is me trying to make all these absolutes and everything else a little more clear, so that when you walk away from this deity section, you have a pretty good idea of what you're talking about. It's not going to be perfectly clear, but at least you'll have a little thing to go to. Now, since Diane has a copy of the original, and actually Phyllis has one, and Phyllis, I don't know if you can, I know you're busy over there. This slide is new.
Okay.
Yeah.
They
don't have it.
Oh, okay.
So,
you want me to read it?
Well, I might get you to read a little bit if you would.
Okay.
But it's going to be a little bit.
Deity absolute.
Yeah.
All the way down that column.
Yeah, way down the column. It's going to be a little confusing because these are out of the index.
Okay.
So it's not complete sentences, and I'm going to have to fill in the gaps, okay? These are just giving you concepts. So if you go down that first column, I'd appreciate it.
Ready?
Jill, don't forget your. What thing did you say you had to leave at 11:15?
1:15. 12:15.
Okay. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
The deity absolute. Absolute. The absolute level had no beginning. It is endless, timeless, and contains no space. The absolute transcends time, space, infinity, eternity, and the ultimate. Absolute of potentiality, activator, and potential. One of seven absolutes of infinity. Limitless, timeless, spaceless, boundless, and measureless, truly infinite. The qualified absolute unifies with unqualified absolute and university absolute. Majestion created by reaction in 17:2-6.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Member of triodity.
Triodity
of potentiality. Over controls all material reality.
Okay, so try to get this concept. The deity absolute, it's a part of God. Okay? You can say it's a separate entity, but it is always a part of God. Is it not? Okay, so that's what I want y'all to understand. Let's go through a couple of these little things it talks about here. It transcends all space, time, and reality. So it goes how far? The whole seven super universes, all this outer space laws.
Everything material.
Everything material. Now, what would you call a deity absolute other than God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, right?
Qualified.
That's an absolute. That's one of the absolutes of creation, okay? Just like the Father's an absolute, the Son's an absolute, conjoint actor's an absolute. Is the Isle of Paradise the absolute?
No.
Yes, it is. Why is it an absolute? Because it was created, and we haven't hit this yet, when the original sun was created. Now, what other absolute would there be? When you think Havana would be an absolute, it transcends time, space, and everything else. I would say yes, because it was created in the same time from the spirit, right? So it's part of the absolute, okay? So, the absolute unifies the unqualified and the universal absolute. The unqualified absolute is a physical absolute. That goes all the way out to all of the outer space levels. But it has no personality. Okay? So even though it's an absolute, it has no personality of God. Where does it get its personality from? God the Father. Right? Does that make sense? Is that too hard? I know it's a hard concept.
What makes it unqualified?
The unqualified.
What is the unqualified? It has no personality?
Yeah, we're going to get to that here in a second. Okay?
But wait, hold on a second. Because last week we talked about how paradise
is not
personality and it's not divinity.
It's not divinity.
Okay, so how can that be part of the absolute?
Because the absolute is what controls it.
Well, in the absolute,
infinite
upholder.
First source and center. Infinite upholder. Right?
Okay.
Who upholds the universe? God the Father. God the Son. God the Spirit. Right? First source and center. Right? Where's the dwelling place of God? It's not the super universe. As far as the physical aspect of God, the seven super universes don't even exist. In actuality, they do. He upholds them. But his dwelling place is what? Our paradise. Right? So that's why it's part of the absolute. It's part of the absolute physical makeup of God.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
It's not as
I want it to be a. Right. I guess I want it to be.
Yeah, this is where these terms come in. It gets difficult to understand. There's a difference between deity and divinity, there's a difference between. Absolute, well, that's not a good example. physical and spiritual. There's a difference between physical and spiritual. You can have a physical makeup of something created by a deity, but it's not spiritual, right? Does it have spirits in it? Of course it does. It does. But it's not, the place itself is not spiritual. Is paradise spiritual? No. Is Helena spiritual? No. Is the seventh super universe spiritual? No. What makes it spiritual?
The beings. Please. All the beings, right?
Mm-hmm. If the universe was empty of beings, would the universe have a purpose?
No.
No. What is this for? Why is there an isle of paradise? To give God a dwelling place, right? If all the rest of us doesn't exist, the first thought he had, boom, he created his own paradise, didn't he? That's why they call the sun the first thought. Now, it's hard for us to understand, but these things had no beginning. There really was no creation point, right? But they say if the universal father had a first thought, his first thought created the sun in paradise, right? Their first conjoint action created the infinite spirit and what? Helena, right? But you got to understand, the physical makeup is not divinity and it's not deity. Even though, and this is a hard concept to get with the absolutes, the deity absolute. You can think of the deity absolute as like this. Nothing exists in all the universes in which God the Father is not in. Right? From the smallest ultimatum to the largest super universe, God is in everything. It's not a pantheism. This is not God, is it? You know, this is not God, right? Does it live in God's universe? Yes. Does it have a physical makeup? Yes. Does it have atoms? Yes. Does it have molecules running around each other? Yes. Is that God? No. What upholds all these forces to keep this little thing, to look, make it look like it does?
Dark energy.
God does, right? Mm-hmm. He's through it, right? But that is not God. That's the difference between pantheism and what we believe. Pantheism believes everything is God. Everything. In other words, this table's God, this is God, you know, his drink is God, the water in the thing is God. It's not, is it? But who upholds it all? God the Father. That's what we're talking about. These absolute, qualified, universal, all these things are fancy terms for saying these are different parts of God's personality that permeate everything. Right? If you think of it that way, it makes a lot more sense. Okay. Before we get off of this, too, I want to mention this Majestan. He's over here on this chart somewhere. Very hot. Here he is up here. Okay. Majestan, he comes right on the line of the paradise sons, creator sons, magister, teacher sons. And it is part of the Supreme Being and the Holy Trinity, but Majestan is part mostly of the conjoint actor. Okay, you see the yellow up here? Also are the six reflective image aids, the seven spirits of the circuits of Haran, and the tertiary supreme effect. What does Majestan do? Y'all remember? Majestan is the chief of reflectivity, right? So Majestan is the infinite spirit's way to keep in contact with all the super universes. Think of that.
He's a central control of communication.
He's the central control of communications. That's right. All right? And this is who creates, and he's the absolute created Majestan. Right? So that communication could go on in the entire universe instantaneously. Majestan, what he does is he has a circuit, and all these reflective images, these are actual beings that relay messages to every point in all seven super universes. So if we have a tertiary supernatant out here in the middle of nowhere taking care of something, can he get some message back to God instantaneously? Right? Where would you use something like this? Think about this. If we were stupid enough dumb enough, I can't even think of a word that's that bad, that we started to blow up this plant. Do you think that they don't know it before it happens? That's the kind of stuff that's reflective imminent page would relay to God the Father immediately. And through this service, they could have enough beings down here to straighten us up like that, couldn't they?
But
two things. They can empty the planet if they allowed us to do that. Or what else could they do? There's all sorts of hosts of individuals that are assigned to our planet, like midwayers, like the Reserve Corps, that could step in at that point.
But they're not going to advocate free will.
Huh? They're not going to advocate free will if they can help it. But normally they do not allow a planet to destroy itself. Why would they not normally?
I seem to recall it wrong, but they would allow it, and one of the things that they do is they would select people, a subset like the Ark of Noah kind of things, and transport them
immediately. You have to dematerialize them. See, there's an emergency situation and a dematerialization plan for our planet. Have y'all ever heard of this?
It's one paragraph in your answer book.
It's one paragraph in your answer book. Basically, the way this works is they would set up stations to take all the survivable people on the planet. What would happen to those that were not survivable?
Stay here.
They would cease to exist immediately. Okay. That's the caveat of this. They would take all the survivable souls and transport to another location, and you continue on just like nothing ever happened. Now, the interesting thing about that is it's going to look exactly like Earth.
I don't know.
They have another Earth already prepared for you know, just
look
for,
exactly like Earth.
Or maybe our memories won't know the difference. maybe we put on another planet. And, God's God. He knew what he wants to.
We wouldn't go to the Moroncho world. We wouldn't go to the Moroncho world.
No, because you have to continue on your existence as a finite being to the point of death. So that you
would
be.
Well, in a way, that is death. I mean, changed your.
No.
They've been changed.
Because someone made a wrong decision, and this is the part of this free will thing that affected the whole entire planet. That's what I'm saying. I don't know that they would let us get to that point. I'm not sure. But there are things in place for that. And they talk about this in the Adam and Eve paper. You remember that in the Adam and Eve?
Yeah, I don't remember. I just remember the fact that this strikes me, the fact that they have clauses around this in the event that would happen, and that typical way of dealing with that, they will let the course going, but so that the civilization is not lost, they will sample, I don't know if it's all of them, and move
on. No, they empty the planet. There's a plan to empty the planet.
So I don't recall that.
That's more like a planetary catastrophe, a comet's coming in.
However, I also recall some allusions, and I don't recall the details, but the fact that, it's Michael's Bestow planet. And because it's Michael's Bestow planet, there could be some exceptions to the usual rule. But they don't, as far as I recall, they don't experiment.
Do you understand what he's saying? Because Michael was, this is his final soul. This is like a icon in the in our universe, right? And do you think you're going to let the planet that Michael did its final soul destroy itself?
And he promised to come back.
It's shameful what they did to him. I mean, it kind of because they justice. They murdered him.
They did.
So,
let me restart this. Yeah.
We don't have a lot to be proud of.
No, we don't. I mean, it's a lousy situation.
Do you remember where that came from?